Hello, this is George Waring, and the column I'm about to read you appear in the in an August issue of the Butte Weekly, I believe. I simply entitled this Memory Stirred. George Oshensky's column in the Montana Standard on July 12th. It was entitled Letting Polluters Skate, Stirred Memories. Oshensky described the Butte and Anaconda consent decrees as being negotiated behind closed doors on how much it was going to cost to clean up the vast environmental destruction left by a century of mining and smelting. Mary Kay Craig, the Butte coordinator for the Clark Fork River Coalition, was very active in the early 1990s. That's when an old comrade from the 1972 Democratic McGovern campaign, Chaz Jenniker, invited me to attend an Environmental Protection Association Citizens Technical Education Committee meeting and hear Mary Kay speak for the first time. That was the best invitation of my life. And old Democratic Party friends were there, Matt Kasich, Don Cooney, former Sheriff Rock Cunningham, and a former student, too. Mary Kay and the Clark Fork River Coalition were in the midst of a petition campaign aimed to convince the EPA not to allow the Berkeley Pit to fill up with contaminated water. So that's when this history prof volunteered to join up and become an outspoken environmentalist, even to becoming the secretary for CTEC meetings. I joined that small group of folks willing to address the Council of Commissioners on the need to get more public input into the crucial county, EPA, and ARCO meetings being held behind closed doors that Oshensky describes. Following one of those council meetings, I was told by the chairman of the county council, and another friend from my Democratic Party days, that the county's major concern was keeping mining going. I was told by a former student, then on the council, he was a councilman, that this Mary Kay Craig was an outsider and could very well deprive Butte of its one chance to obtain its own ARCO-donated Jack Nicklaus golf course. Mary Kay's petition drive netted over 3,000 signatures. Her petitions were submitted to Representative Pat Williams and to the EPA. She was much later informed that the petitions were stuffed away in the EPA office in Butte. I remember Mary Kay being tipped off by a friend in Helena that a non-public meeting between ARCO and our Butte government was going to be held the next day. But it was not going to be held at the courthouse. It was going to be held in an office building uptown. I remember Alfred Moliani from Rocker being there in his wheelchair. Since I was teaching a government course back then, I asked to read my short statement concerning public notification of all Montana government meetings. ARCO was there, and leading officials of our county government. This, indeed, was a closed-door meeting. And, surprise, it was quickly canceled when our CTEC folks showed up. We were told at the next county council meeting that no such meeting between ARCO and county officials had ever been held. Ah, memories. Oshensky writes, after 40 years of supposedly cleaning up Butte and Anaconda, the Berkeley Pit is still the largest pool of highly toxic water on the planet. Moreover, the 50 billion gallons of toxic water in the pit will require treatment in perpetuity. Finally, Oshensky tied this Butte Anaconda pollution history to the recent deal between the Jean Forte State Administration and Colstrip's out-of-state owners, and I quote him, to reduce their previous $285 million reclamation bond by a whopping $120 million. Oshensky wrote, yet another sweetheart deal cut with corporate polluters behind closed doors. Thanks to David McCumber and George Ochinski for allowing me to read the kind of disconcerting information that might have helped way back in the 1990s to bring about a different kind of response to the county ARCO EPA deal. The Montana standard back then did not do its job. That same July 12th standard opinion page stirred another unsettling memory. Just below George Ochinski's column was another fine one authored by Lucy Hochschartner, climate activist with the Gallatin Valley Sunrise Movement. Lucy wrote that she had been shocked to learn that ExxonMobil thinks John Tester is crucial to their strategy to fight meaningful climate action. Yeah, I was reminded of another Democratic Montana senator of the 1990s named Max Baucus. Baucus was often the subject of New York Times stories focused on Wall Street billionaires' political lobbying successes leading up to the Great Recession of 2008. Ah, wonderful memories. This is George Waring, and I thank you for listening.